Dakota salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of COTA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use COTA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on COTA. Plan your ride and learn more at COTA.com/trip planner.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. I'm your host, Matt Tardio, and today's episode is being sponsored by GhostBed. Increased risk of terror attacks and stuff across the United States. That's what's actually going on, and that's what we're going to end up talking about today on this morning's episode. Before we get into that, I want to give you guys a quick word from our sponsor. When you've been through a lot in life and you start to care less about trends, you know, and you tend to care more about what actually works. And that's why you guys are over here, because you could care less about, you know, what the mainstream media outlets are saying and everybody else is saying. And you care about what works. And that's exactly why you guys, as Speak the Truth listeners, should go over and check out GhostBed. They make a high quality, durable mattress built with real support and cooling tech that actually helps you sleep through the night, whether you run hot or just want something that won't quit after just a couple of years. GhostBed delivers. Their best-selling Lux mattress is a favorite for a reason. It's got patented cooling technology and cool-to-the-touch covers that pull heat away from your body, especially helpful in the middle of the summer or if you sleep warm year-round. And every mattress in their lineup includes GhostBed's exclusive ProCore layer designed to reinforce your back and hips where most mattresses break down. That means better alignment, less soreness, and more comfort that doesn't give out. The team behind GhostBed has more than 20 years of experience in mattress manufacturing and over 60,000 five-star reviews to back it up. They don't just talk quality, they build it. Every mattress comes with a 101-night sleep trial, fast and free shipping, and 20 to 25-year warranty. And if you need help, give them a call and you'll talk to a real person on their Florida headquarters. No bonds. Now's the time to try GhostBed. Speak the Truth listeners can take an extra 25% off on top of GhostBed's already competitive pricing. Just head to ghostbed.com/Rob and use code Rob at checkout. That's ghostbed.com/Rob using promo code Rob. GhostBed makes the coolest beds in the world. And we obviously want to thank them for sponsoring today's episode. Now, let's go ahead and get into the main portion of the show. What you guys just watched that was up on your screen earlier, this is a video that the IDF ended up releasing from Gaza City. And believe it or not, this actually plays into why we have fears of the increased risk of terror attacks, on top of the Department of Homeland Security actually putting out a notice that I'll have up on the screen for you here in a little bit. Now, why does all of this play into it? Well, As you guys know, if you're frequent watchers of this channel, what ends up happening is you have Hamas that's sitting probably somewhere between 10 to 15,000 strong, and their last stronghold is over inside of Gaza City. This is a representation, actually, of what Hamas did. This building got taken out this morning. I'll show you that here in a little bit. Now, Hamas is held up inside Gaza City, and the IDF is stacked up outside of it, and it looks like there's preparation works for them to go in there as we speak. This video is actually depicting a very high building over inside Gaza City. They have cameras set up. IDF says that they ended up having sniper positions and tunnels that were set up outside of it. Now, all of that is great. And if, you know, Israel is just going after and attacking Hamas, what is there to fear? Well, the fear isn't that Israel is just going to go after and attack Hamas. The issue actually goes with the civilians that are trapped inside Gaza City. Over the last couple of weeks, we've actually heard several civilians that have came out and spoken and had stated that they were trapped over inside of Gaza City and that they weren't being allowed to leave. Now, with illustrations such as the one you just saw and the cameras and how in depth, you know, their media coverage is, right, the Hamas terror media coverage, what I am predicting and what I believe to actually be true is what you're going to end up having is all of these civilians that's been trapped. And this is all also based on my own personal experience, by the way, is that these civilians that are trapped are going to end up being used as martyrs. They're not going to be allowed to leave. They're going to get killed. They're going to get wounded. Their families are going to threaten to die if they try to get out of the way. Now, what's going to end up happening is Hamas is going to have these different ambush zones set up for the IDF as they roll in. I think most people can kind of realize that's what's taking place. Hamas has been bearing explosives, setting up sniper positions and all sorts of crap over inside Gaza City, waiting for Israel to come in. Now, the problem is that this is Hamas's last stand. The majority of their fighters, the majority of their firepower is all built up inside Gaza City, and Israel hasn't really moved in to clear it out yet, but they have called up the 60,000 reservists. Now, what's likely going to happen, like the enemy's most likely course of action here, is that they're going to have these different ambush zones set up. And in an ambush, you have kill zones. And in those kill zones, you're going to have a secondary kill zone set up, not for the IDF, but for the civilians who are caught in the crossfire. Because Hamas has already established these kill zones ahead of time with the likely avenues that the IDF is going to take to get into that city, they are likely also going to have the cameras set up covering over those kill zones. And they're going to do their absolute best to capture the IDF shooting at civilians, even though the IDF is returning fire towards Hamas. What Hamas is going to be counting on is that the civilians get caught in the crossfire and they end up dying. Then they're going to exploit that footage. They're going to pump it out online. And that footage, just as we saw with this false Aguilar case, is going to get picked up by mainstream media and it's going to get blasted before any truth can actually get out there. That media coverage is likely going to be what ends up sparking outrage over inside of the West. I've been covering pretty extensively this week over the different Islamic extremist preachings that have been taking place here on United States soil. I'm going to show you examples of attacks. We're going to go over the actual DHS terror threat increase. And we're going to talk about how that's going to impact you and your families. Over here, though, I want to show you guys that building that I had just, you know, shown that graphical depiction of actually got taken out just a short time ago. And I want you to take a look. There's going to be a couple different angles. This is exactly what I'm talking about. All right. Number one, you can see all of these different tents that are stacked up over here outside of the building and how close this building is to that. And you can see all of the people in the street. Like, this is all tents down here at the bottom. Okay. And all of those are people that no longer have homes that are trapped inside of that area. Now, without extreme knowledge of this situation, just this one strike in itself, I want you to take a look at it and how close all of that is to these people. And imagine what, like, the situation is going to look like when the IDF actually goes in there. Oh, of course it wants to play the spinny game. Don't worry. I have a solution for that every time it does that. Don't you worry, ladies and gentlemen. I got you fixed. Don't you worry. Oh, maybe that one doesn't want to play, and that's okay. Why? Because I've got other angles. Let me get this one up for you. This is actually a much better angle anyways, much better video, and you can see just how surrounded this building is by those tents. Now, as this video is playing on repeat, I want to go through some of these super chats that you guys have sent in. Kenley Sanders, member of 16 Months. Unfortunately, I don't have time to watch today, but thank you for what you do, and I'll tune in later. Of course, Fox McCloud, information is a weapon. It can be used to prepare you, or it can be used to confuse and distract you. Choose wisely. Jake Fun, just throwing out some nanners. He's been a member for 19 months. Colby McCurdy, who is the biggest threat to the American citizens, cartels, or terrorists? It's six in one, half a dozen in the other, man. I mean, like, truthfully, when we take a look at everything that's taking place with the cartels down in the South, plus what's taking place over inside of the Middle East, you've got an equal problem here, right? The cartels are more like, truthfully, I might go with the Islamic extremists for right now, like the terrorists. And the reason being, I'm putting it as the most existential threat, like one of the ones that's going to take place the quickest and the soonest over here in the United States. And the reason I say that is because of what I'm covering today. Cartels are doing their best to lay low. They really don't want to start a war here on American soil, but they will if they have to. And I think that's where we're going to run into problems with the cartels when we actually start targeting them. So the moment we start going after those cartels in American cities is where we're going to start seeing that uptick, in my opinion. Patrick Loudon says there was a video released on X of Aguilar and that lady. Both were in uniform and getting escorted after the incident the other day. Pat, yep, I ended up showing that, I believe, on last night's stream. And I will, if I have time here in a little bit, I'll bring it up and talk about that just for the propaganda piece. Now, the interesting part about this, what I'm about to actually bring up, is an interview, that, and this is just more or less some substantiating evidence for it's not just me that's saying this, it's other experts as well within this field. And this is John Spencer talking about human shields over inside of Gaza. And again, these human shields are what's going to be used. It's going to be the catalyst, so to speak, of what they're going to be blasting out to civilian media sources.
Israel withdrew, although Israel was fighting Hamas and others before it withdrew in 2005. Hamas is elected in 2007. But from then on, it had 20 years where the IDF never went into Gaza. I mean, even if you look at the past battles of 2008, 14, 16, 2021, Hamas had 20 years to prepare every inch, and it did. There is no case study of just the tunnel network that an enemy built underneath its cities for the sole purpose of using the surface, their civilians, as a, not just a shield where they weaponize and put the civilians in front, but also weaponize what's called lawfare, you know, occupying all the hospitals, the schools, and everything. But the uniqueness to Hamas is this tunnel network underneath their civilians. And I used to say before visiting Gaza now multiple times, where every step that I took, whether it was in Khan Yunis, Netzarim Corridor, or whatever, it was more likely than not that there was a tunnel underneath you. Before the war, I used to say, you know, Hamas put a tunnel under every hospital, every school, and every mosque. That's not true. In many cases, they built the tunnel network and then put the school and the other things on top of it as part of their overall literal design of the urban areas. That was going to make Gaza battles, let alone war, different than anything that's ever been experienced. And the human sacrifice strategy will, and I know it's going long, but it's a big topic, is that no other combatant that I've studied, not the Nazis, not the Japanese, not ISIS, not Al-Qaeda, has ever put their civilians, the ones they say they're fighting for, and say they want them to die and then do everything possible to get them killed. That human sacrifice strategy has just never been seen in any of these other urban battles where even ISIS would push civilians towards the attacking force, but they didn't. Their entire strategy wasn't, I want all of these civilians to die so I can achieve my political goal through their death.
So the question is do we see evidence of that taking place inside Gaza City? And I believe the answer to that question is yes, we absolutely do, especially when we take a look at, you know, these types of videos. IDF is already catching enough crap. Israel's catching enough crap for the false accusations, you know, about many things and purposely starving civilians, et cetera. But when you look at this video and you look at the building that they chose and you look at how many tents and stuff are there around there, it's absolutely insane. Incog Faraday coming in and giving out 5 Speak the Truth memberships. Now, how did that happen? Do we think that this building was just chose because of its, you know, tactical nature? Probably. All right. It's very high structure, one of the highest structures over within that vicinity. But when you start looking at the different tents and why everybody settled over there, why is that? And from my experience dealing with Islamic extremism, they actually do take these like civilians and they threaten them and they force them to move around there. That right here, this is a shining example of human shields. Shining example of human shields. And this building, right, this is not something that Israel saw and was like, you know what, we're just going to attack this building in the middle of all of these civilians and not target the civilians themselves, right? I got a feeling that they warned the crap out of them, because before this video came out, Israel ended up releasing that one from earlier saying that they were going to end up attacking this. So I have no doubt that they ended up warning people to get the heck out of Dodge and that they were going to end up attacking it. Did it crush people's homes inside of their tents where they've been living? Likely. But it is even more likely that Hamas actually took these people and forced them to move around that building in hopes that that would keep that building alive and protect them, that is Hamas, from any Israeli attacks, because it was such a key structure. And when you look at the amount of civilians they've actually invested around there, it becomes readily apparent. Incog Faraday came in gifting out 5 Speak the Truth memberships, and Fox McCloud says, I think the cartels are like Frankenstein in the sense that the CIA has something to do with some cartel creation. Yes, they do. And you can actually go and look up the history. I want to say it was like a 7th group, maybe, down in and turning up some of them back in the day before they became what they are now. There's a couple things on that. I don't want to go too in depth with it because I don't want to start a conspiracy theory without having all the facts. And then we have... Inter says, hey, Matt, do you think there is a possibility that domestic terrorists start using FPV drones? And if yes, how do we prevent that? I think those FPV drones that you bring up, I don't think they're going to be used in the traditional sense, as we see taking place overseas with FPV drones dropping explosives and things like that. But my prediction honestly hasn't really changed. Likely, 5 terror cells in a very, I don't want to say a quasi rural area. All right. Places where you have big enough urban population centers that are kind of like spread out amongst each other. And you're going to end up seeing, in my opinion, you're going to probably see starting off with, maybe a 2-man terror cell going all the way up to a 5-man terror cell as we progress this. But when these attacks kick off, you're likely going to see them as active shooters. With the different active shooter situations, they provide a lot of intelligence to the enemy on how these attacks are going to be and how the police response is actually going to be to these attacks, right? Where you have law enforcement officers that are rushing into the area, where they stack their vehicles up, where you have law enforcement from all the different surrounding agencies that end up coming in. And if you have just 2 active shooters, picture like the LA shootout, like the LA bank robbery shootout that took place back in the day, where you had all those cops come in and they were just duking it out with these freaking dudes forever. If you have 2 guys that do that, the amount of police responses can be overwhelming. And then from there, in a neighboring jurisdiction, you end up opening up another scene with maybe 3 active shooters. And then in very close proximity to that, another one with like maybe 5 at different malls and stuff. So if you guys see, a second one come out and you're anywhere around there, I mean, it's key to go back and strong point your home and just kind of hang out and wait. Because what's going to end up happening is you're going to have multiple of them pop off, and it's going to overwhelm law enforcement system, because number one, law enforcement officers aren't prepared for it, right? Like they're not like SWAT teams are not prepared for gunfights like that. They're not made for all of that different type of stuff. They're made for very short duration type deals. The FPV drone question, yeah, I do believe that maybe not the 1st or 2nd cell, but the 3rd, 4th, and 5th cells that end up popping off, what you're likely to see is them using drones and things of that nature to start judging the police response, because those are going to be like their solid holdouts and everything as they're going around conducting those different massacres. Right? They're going to have increased surveillance and things, and those drones are dirt cheap. You can pick up a good surveillance drone for like less than the cost of a rifle, right? If you're looking in the right place. So I think things like that are more than likely to go down. Zay says, I've known a Marine who fought in Fallujah. He told me he had to shoot a kid like 10 to 12 years old. He ran at them with a live grenade. Yeah. Yep. They definitely do things like that. And it's not, I don't know. It's not one of the things I actually like to talk about. Now, as far as here in the United States, do we see a thirst for this crap taking place? And the answer is resoundingly yes. We absolutely see a thirst for this type of stuff over here in the United States. I'm going to bring up this report and let it spin. It's about 2 minutes, but I want you guys to listen to the words that are coming out, and I want you to pay attention to the people that are on the screen.
On American soil, terrorists took the stage and trashed the country hosting them.
The thing to do is to destroy the idea of America in Americans' heads.
It's called the People's Conference for Palestine, which thousands of people attended. And what they were cheering for should terrify you. This isn't a peace conference. It's a gathering of radical activists, terrorist-linked organizations, and people glorifying violence under the banner of liberation. They invited actual terrorists, like Hussein Shaheem, a convicted terrorist who built a cell in Jerusalem and was sentenced to 27 years for attempted murder. He was recently released in a hostage deal and was still invited to come speak. Here's what's actually being said at this conference.
We all know who they are, whether they are in Israel, in Washington, in Europe. They need to be taken out. They need to be neutralized. Now it's time to escalate.
They preach martyrdom.
Salute to our martyrs, those who are killed but never die.
They incite hatred towards America.
We live in an evil country. That's just what's happened.
They push rhetoric going against the West, socially, ideologically, and politically, to cheer for sentences like this.
Liberation, never peace. That's the white man's word, peace. Liberation is our word.
Does that sound like they want peace? They're romanticizing war, and they're turning this into a cult-like experience where people are continuing to be radicalized. And then we see applause erupting when somebody says something like this.
I can tell you I'm more Palestinian than I am American.
This isn't activism. This is a whole event made to radicalize a group of people under the guise of liberation for the oppressed.
Every sector of society must become a front for confronting Zionism.
And it's funded by organizations directly tied to terrorism. The Freedom Flotilla Coalition was literally led by a Hamas operative. The AMP is under investigation for terror ties. And Code Pink has a long record of working with terrorists and oppressive regimes like Iran. We're living in a world where right and wrong are being blurred on purpose.
We need to retake the universities. We need to neutralize and silence these corporate media.
We're saying peace gets booed, but calling for jihad gets applause. Where blatant hate is being branded as activism and nobody calls it out.
Find that anger within your heart.
Where the people in this conference are using the right of free speech given to them by America to incite violence in America.
We wanted to globalize the Intifada.
This is not liberation. This is dangerous and it needs to be stopped.
You know, that's a really good question that just popped up from Sir Thanks a Lot. How do you go from never forget to globalize the Antifada? Well, that is one hell of a question, my friend. And I wish I had a good, solid answer for you on how we go from that to the other, because it seems like we have forgotten and we do allow these things to continue to take place. And it drives me absolutely nuts. There is zero excuse for us to forget, like zero. And it seems that America has forgotten. If you want to know my opinion on how we managed to do that, it's because what we ended up doing was going from global, or excuse me, what we managed to do was go from never forget and understand like where these terrorists came from and what it is that they're thinking and doing to this like white guilt inside of this country to where we can't question anybody. We can't question anybody of another race. We can't question radical Islam. We can't question anything. And if you do, you're being Islamophobic. If you you're about to see why all of that is just garbage. And I don't believe in that term. You know, Islamophobia is an absolute joke as far as I'm concerned. Absolutely. Let's talk about what's taking place in Dearborn, Michigan. For those of you that haven't seen Dearborn lately, ramp up. This is America. And the same people that you see standing outside here are the same ones that are going in and listening to those like very extreme preachers, right? Or not even preachers, like imams, right? That are standing there in front of the congregations. It got so extreme, in fact, and we're worried about such threats. Here you go. Summary to threats to the United States, June 22nd, 2025. What you saw inside of that video was likely some Shia Muslims as well. And that is why it's very, very important. And the reason I say it's very important is because this that ended up getting put out by the Department of Homeland Security this summer actually talks about Iranian attacks here in the United States of America, and some of them that you haven't even heard about. I'm going to go ahead and quote this thing real quick. Ongoing conflict is causing a heightened threat environment in the United States. Low-level cybersecurity attacks against U.S. networks by pro-Iranian hacktivists are likely, and cyber actors affiliated with the Iranian government may conduct attacks against U.S. networks. Iran has a long-standing commitment to target U.S. government officials. Its views as reasonable for the death of the Iranian military commander killed in January 2020. They're talking about Soleimani. Smokey Sergeant says, time to come out of retirement and go full active, passive to mobile. See y'all on the line. Yeah, no kidding, my friend. It gets even crazier when we get into this. The issue of, where'd it go? The likelihood of violent extremists in the homeland independently mobilizing to violence in response to the conflict would likely increase if Iranian leadership issued a religious ruling calling for retaliatory violence against targets in the homeland. That would be here in the United States. Multiple recent homeland terrorist attacks have been motivated by anti-Semitic and anti-Israeli sentiment in the ongoing Israel-Iran conflict could contribute to U.S.-based individuals plotting additional attacks. Eric, thanking me for what I do, coming in with a $5 super chat. Thank you very much, sir. So why am I now bring up Iran into this? Because Iran has been vouching to protect Palestine, and they have been very, very, very invested in Hamas. Not only invested in Hamas, but also invested in Hezbollah. And I'm not even sure if I put the clip on the screen, but now the Lebanese media and Lebanese government are kicking Hezbollah out. For those of you guys that don't know, Hezbollah is the largest non-state terror organization in the world. And they have been decimated. Their leadership has been killed about five times over. And they're on the verge of being kicked out of Lebanon. They're currently being disarmed in the south. I saw a video yesterday of the Lebanese military actually targeting them. I've also seen the Israeli Defense Force that continues to crush them in the south and some very targeted airstrikes. Additionally, they got kicked out of Syria when Assad fell. Hezbollah was actually backing the Assad regime, and they were working alongside members of the IRGC from Iran, who, again, is also an international terror organization designated by the USA and, I believe, Canada. So the IRGC lost its foothold inside Syria, and so did Hezbollah. So they end up going into Lebanon, where they had been. And now they are being crushed by the international community over inside Lebanon, and they're about to lose altogether. The Houthis down inside Yemen are being crushed, and you know, Israel continues to target them. We saw their entire leadership get taken out. What was it, like last week or the week before? And so then we go and we look at Gaza, where, you know, the IRGC and the Iranian government have a good investment in Hamas, and Hamas is about to make its final stand. With that being said, it is very, very likely that Iran actually ends up launching another ballistic missile attack against Israel. Further, they're talking about pulling out of the nuclear non-proliferation treaty because of the reporting from the IAEA. Now, with that being said, if they end up pulling out of the NPT, all of a sudden, we have another issue because they still have uranium enrichment facilities online. And if they attack Israel, it's going to give the United States a very good reason to retaliate and start bombing the crap out of them again and taking out those final uranium enrichment facilities. If the Ayatollah ends up coming out and saying, you know what, start attacking the West where they're at, we're under attack, Muslims are under attack, the Shia community is under attack, and he ends up issuing out a freaking order, that order is very likely to get followed through with here in the United States of America. But further, even if he doesn't do that, even if the Ayatollah doesn't do that, and you see Iran attacking Israel again, and you see, you know, Hamas about to get stamped out, and Hezbollah has been getting stamped out, and down in Yemen, they're getting stamped out, that's going to embolden people here in the United States, and they're going to view it, and they're going to try to spin the propaganda piece as a direct attack on Islam, saying that they're going after the Palestinians. So it's not a joke, ladies and gentlemen, and don't worry, I got some great examples for you coming up here in just a sec. I want to run through some of the super chats that have been coming through. Sir, thanks a lot. Brand new member, become a true supporter, it would appear, even though I feel like you've been a true supporter for a while. Nova Australia says, stay strapped, stay proficient, everyone. 100%, Nova, you are dead on, spot on with that one. Tom Bone says, the more divided we are, the weaker we become, and the stronger our enemies get. 100%, 100%. Sir, thanks a lot. Also says, this isn't immigration, we are facing colonization. Yes, that is exactly what's taking place. Engineer came in just giving out 10 just to be a hell of a nice guy, I guess. Just coming in, giving out $10. I appreciate you, man. Sir, thanks a lot. Says, check your memberships, YouTube unsubbed members. Yeah, YouTube's been doing that a lot, man. Not only that, but they've also been turning off notifications for a lot of you guys. And it's actually really, really annoying. This is the other portion of here that went into this security threat that's just kind of buried in the initial information. It says U.S. law enforcement has disrupted multiple potentially lethal Iranian-backed plots in the United States since 2020. During this time frame, the Iranian government has also unsuccessfully targeted critics of its regime who are based in the homeland for lethal attack. So, Iranian regime, what this says, what DHS is saying, is that they believe They believe that Iran has already launched numerous or attempted to launch numerous lethal terror attacks here in the United States of America. That's freaking bad. That's really bad. And that's without any of these big nexuses taking place that we're talking about. Further, the Iranian regime definitely has freaking cells here in the United States because they have been targeting critics of the regime based here in the United States of America. So that tells you we know they exist here. That's not going anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. They are here. They are absolutely here in the United States. Oh, my goodness. The Swamp Cleaner says, Matt, I highly suggest creating a Rumble channel in the event YouTube nukes this one. When things are kinetic is usually when they drop the Bahammer. Yeah, you know, we do have a Rumble channel, and I've been meaning to set it up so I can start, like, dual streaming over there as well. I currently dual stream here on YouTube and then also over on X. And I actually think I'm going to end up opening up an X space following this to get your guys' opinions on everything that I'm going over. And normally I end up doing it in the Discord, and so maybe I'll open up Discord first and then go over and open up the X space, and we'll do it from there. Swamp Cleaner says, yep, I just read that one. Wow, man. Wow, wow, wow. Dylan Dunker coming in, gifting out 5 Speak the Truth membership. Sir Thanks a Lot says, I was a member for over 18 months. Subbed. That's what I thought, man. Subbed March of 2022. Jay Rudy came in, gifting out 5 Speak the Truth memberships. Thank you guys very much for that. And Pancake says, time to stack up on ammo. Yeah, you should be stacking up on ammo regardless, just because God only knows what this freaking insane government's going to end up doing. Now, have these things been taking place here in the United States of America? In my opinion, absolutely yes. And this isn't like me saying that. This is literally proof of it right up here on your screen. Long Beach man arrested on federal criminal complaint, charging him with sending money and payments to ISIS. That happened over inside of California in August. I don't think I need to really go beyond that headline. So you have ISIS sympathizers here in the United States. They had another one. June 5th, FBI and local partners interrupted IED and mass shooting, and this came out of the FBI Portland field office. They ended up not releasing the name of this individual because they were a minor. Now, this could be one of those like minors that just has a corrupt mind, things of that nature, and it just was going out to do it. Or it could be somebody that, was sympathetic to the cause. But here's the catch on these people. When they are, number one, this individual ended up using, and this is what I find really interesting about this particular report. The suspect demonstrated the intent and means to carry out the plan, which included precise details such as a map of the mall, a route the shooter would follow, a plan to use improvised explosive devices, commonly known as a chlorine bomb, to incite panic. Now, why do I think that might likely be leaked to Iran? Well, because there was 2 chlorine attacks over during the war in Iraq that I'm aware of. Chlorine is not very easy to weaponize, contrary to popular belief. If you're building a chlorine bomb, you intend on some very, very dirty crap. Chlorine particles are so fine that even like the gas masks and stuff like that, that our soldiers wear, chlorine gas will actually work its way through that mask and poison the frickin' soldiers. The only way to really like stop that crap from like you breathing it in is to have something like firefighters wear, like a self-contained breathing apparatus. And so that within itself is a very significant detail that's contained in here. And it's just, you know, being used by a minor. That within itself is freaking scary. But the fact that they had drawings and schematics of the entire building, also scary. So why do I think this individual was likely radicalized online and, you know, had that information? Well, what ends up happening is you have these deranged individuals that are online, and you end up having terrorists from other countries that go in and they recruit these people. They find them in different chat groups and everything else, and then they pull them off the side and they give them more information. Now, all they need is a group of individuals that they're able to find and set this off. But I don't even think that they need to go that far. Here inside of the United States, when you have the different mosques preaching the things like I've shown you in the last week, when they're doing that, you can definitely have members of that congregation, if you will, that are going to go and off the side, and they have the potential, after listening to that crap, of setting up, preparing, and planning the different attacks as I've described here on this show. So that's also a possibility. Here's another one. FBI and local partners interrupt. That was the same one. Blah, blah, blah. My brain. Now, what type of crap can you expect when that goes through? Well, take a gander. This is what ended up happening on October 7th. This is a great video of it. And what they were saying and what the, you know, rumor mill has been for a very long time is that this attack is supposed to be very October 7th like, and that October 7th was simply a dress rehearsal. Now, if you remember, Israel is little Satan and the United States of America is big Satan. Why the hell would anybody be coming after the United States like this just because Israel is going into Gaza? Well, their main motivation behind it and their way of thinking is that the United States have been providing bombs, weapons, equipment, and all of this other stuff to Israel. Therefore, the United States is supporting this genocide against the Palestinian people. And again, they view it as wiping out their freaking culture. That's like what they want everybody to believe. That's what they like try to lead you to believe, is that's what they're doing. Nothing could be further from the truth. That's not what's taking place. That's not how it's going down. And you guys that have watched this channel before, you know that. What about other attacks around the world? Have we seen them? Yes, absolutely. I showed this just a couple weeks ago when this ended up going down. This is an attack that took place on a bus over inside of Canada. Afterwards, this man right here ended up, I think it was either right before or right after he ended up releasing a video pledging his allegiance to ISIS and telling everybody to basically convert, pay the jizya or die.
For Kawam pulls out a large knife and attacks, slashing at the victim's neck three times and intending to kill him, according to the admissions at trial. As bus passengers scream, the victim uses his body to push Kawam out of the bus. For Kawam pulls out a large knife.
That's freaking scary, isn't it? These things, again, have taken place here. Well, this one was from Canada. Here's the man for himself. And like I said, he ended up releasing that video along with, you know, why he was doing it. So you don't even necessarily have to have firearms to do these types of things. We've actually seen an increase in knife attacks around the world. And I'll be going over those here in just a minute. Let me get this up on the screen. Go over this. 3M Forge says, as a Canadian with the same issue going on here, what advice would you give to us? Our firearms laws and self-defense laws suck. People being charged with worse charges for defending themselves than the people attacking them. I would tell you that there is such things called improvised weapons, and you need to become very familiar with them. And that is anything that's around you that you can pick up and beat somebody over the head with. Use that. Also, knives are a very good tool that not a lot of people actually get behind. Something as simple as a pocket knife, right? And I'm not sitting here trying to give you guys advice on how to do all this stuff, but knives are way more dangerous than people give them credit for. You know, sliced in the right place, this is like if you slice somebody in the right place, they're going down within, you know, a matter of minutes, if not seconds. So, and in addition to that, you can also disable people, right? Going after their wrists and things like that, you can actually disable these people really well. Carrying a screwdriver is also a very, very, very good. I see that just came down in the freaking chat as well. Improvised weapons are real. If you can't get a hold of a knife or anything like that, there is very real things such as improvised weapons. And at the end of the day, 3M Forge, as you talk about people getting worse charges for defending themselves, that is an individual decision that you have to make. And it's the same thing, you know, when I was teaching self-defense courses that I ended up telling people, right? As a last resort is lethal force, right? Lethal force is a last resort. It's not something that you should automatically default to because you're scared. And the reason is for exactly what you stated. You know, if somebody comes into my home, I'm going to go barricade myself and wait for them to come to me. I'm going to warn them. I'm going to dial 911 and I'm going to put everything, right, on recording, because the moment I dial 911, all of that's recorded and it can be used as evidence later. So when I'm shouting for them to like go away, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, if they come to me and I end up putting them down, great. But the thing that a lot of people don't realize is the moment you do that, the moment you shoot somebody inside of your home becomes a crime scene. A homicide has occurred, whether or not it's in self-defense. And in reality, you know, that self-defense statute, you know, that people like to go over, it's actually an affirmative defense to committing a homicide is how it ends up working. And the police have to investigate it as a homicide. That means that you will be investigated. You may be questioned, right? Assert your freaking right to remain silent if you're in the United States of America. Your house is going to end up getting seized as a crime scene. You're going to have to find another place to live if you don't wind up in jail that night for you and your family. And then someone's going to have to clean up the mess afterwards, not to mention the cost of the attorney that you're going to have to retain, so on and so forth, right? So all of that stuff is kind of a huge pain in the butt that you guys need to be focused on. Now, are we seeing other things that are like less violent taking place? Yes, we are, as far as these attacks and whatnot go. Here is a guy that assaulted a Jewish woman up inside of Toronto.
Because this is stupid-ass propaganda, maybe.
What's your name?
My name is none of your fucking business.
I didn't think so.
All right.
What kind of pride? No, these are hostages.
Are you touching
children.
Me? Are you touching me?
These
Did
are
Did you just touch me on your own camera?
That are hostages.
And I do not give a fuck. Move
you
the fuck.
You want to put up for Palestinian children? Put up for Palestinian children.
You don't have to do that.
Huh?
You don't have to do that. Why are you doing it? Why?
Why? You have a problem?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Is it yours? No, it's not.
The fuck is your problem? Leave.
No.
No, what are you going to do?
I'm going to post this everywhere,
that's
and
fine.
You'll see what happens.
Hello.
These, no, not these two. I want these two. I want these two. No. Don't touch my stuff.
Okay. Don't touch me. Don't touch me.
Hey! No!
You're assaulting me. Do not assault me. Do not assault me.
Stop.
Do not touch me.
Stop.
Do not touch
He's
me.
He's violent, like you just saw. The
I didn't touch anyone.
Us.
You pushed me, actually. That's fine. Put her on video.
Poor children.
That's fine.
Taking hostage. This is not against Palestine. This is against Hamas.
That is fine. That is A-OK.
Yeah. Well, I've got this video
that
of
is
assault,
fine.
Your assault here.
You assaulted me.
Yeah, let's call 911 and find out.
Go right ahead.
Call 911, please.
Go ahead. Look what happens.
Can somebody please call 911?
Call them. Show them. See what happens.
Yeah?
You have a phone in your hand.
What will
show
happen?
Them.
But I'm videoing you.
Show him. Yola. Go. Right now.
So here's the point I'm trying to make. This is what is taking place without people, right? Like without any of these violent attacks currently going on overseas, without a lot of the mass media crap coming out, and it's going to end up coming soon. But I want to take care of this true supporter that just jumped in. Sir Thanks-a-Lot. He said, I have an important medical procedure coming up today and I have to leave. Wanted to give a little love before going. Can you read Isaiah 53 for me? Yeah, absolutely. I can end up reading Isaiah 53 for you. And we might as well just make that our daily devotional and just knock it out a little bit early. So for those that don't know, Isaiah was a prophet over inside of Judea around the 8th century BCE. All right. And often Isaiah 53 is referred to as the suffering servant. All right, he's a figure described and how do I want to say this? Rejected and acquainted with grief. All right, there's no other way to describe that. So Isaiah 53, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried out our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off of the land of the living. For transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his head. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear the iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall be divided with spoil with the strong, because he hath poured his soul unto death, and he has, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. And, you know, sir, thanks a lot. Just going to say a prayer for you today, to make sure that your medical procedure and everything goes great. And I hope you're doing, I hope you make a quick recovery. Falco says it better be judged by 12 than carried by six. Totally agree with that statement. Situation dependent. I don't know if you've seen a lot of juries lately, but they're not exactly the most intelligent people that are out there. Smoky Sergeant says, I had hoped and prayed that I would never have to revert back into what I once was, but somehow I always knew I would have to. Darn it. Yeah. There's that, right? A lot of people forget, right? That just because you are, how do I say it? Not violent, that you're not capable of violence. Now, as I sit here and I speak out against, you know, radical Islam and everything, I want to give you guys another example that just shows you how bad this goes. This guy is a famous Catholic priest that was over in Australia, and he ended up getting attacked not that long ago.
Islam came in 635 AD. The Gospel of John was written around 100 AD. So 535 years came after the Gospel of John. John is an eyewitness, my dear Muhammad. John is an eyewitness. He lived with Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He saw Jesus' wonders and miracles, and he documented it fresh. Fresh. So you're telling me that now I need to believe in someone coming 6 centuries or 7 centuries after the Holy Bible was documented? You want me to believe in a document that came 7 centuries after the Holy Bible? You want me to believe in someone that never saw Jesus, never lived with Jesus, never walked with Jesus, over the one who walked, lived, ate, embraced Jesus Christ every single day for 3 years and 4 months? Where is the logic? The one who was with the Lord said, this is God. This is the Son of God. This is God himself. He was crucified. He was buried. And I saw him risen after the burial. Muhammad came in 635 and he said, he is not the Son of God. He is just a prophet. He was never crucified. In fact, Judas Iscariot was placed by God to deceive the Jews. Pale green.
Now, what do you guys think is his reward here for saying that he is not going to believe in Islam? What do you think his reward was for that? I see some of you guys down in the chat already know what it is, but it's not good. You know, here in this clip, he's actually talking about his trip into Gaza.
Being to the Gaza Strip, in one of our pilgrims that we go to Israel every time, I've been to one of them, to one of those pilgrims to the Gaza Strip. The bus driver, sorry, I'll have to stop. I have to mention this. I have to mention this. Look, the Lord loves everyone, okay? Humanity are very harsh. The bus driver was a Palestinian Muslim. With all love and respect, I'm saying this. The bus driver was a Palestinian Muslim. The tour guide was a Palestinian Muslim from the Gaza Strip. But he hasn't been to the Gaza Strip for the past 5 years at the time. When I said to them, we are going tomorrow because there was a holy site which happens to be in the Gaza Strip. Which holy site was it? You read that in the Gospel of Luke, where those two men were walking back to their village and the Lord catches up to them. And he says, what are you guys talking about? He says, looks like you're a stranger. You don't know. It is Jesus, this mighty prophet. Look what happened to him. He said, I am the Messiah, I'm this. But he was crucified, he died, and they buried him. So we're going back to our own life once again. Looks like it was all a lie. So as they come into the house, the sun is going down. The Lord says, I'm going further. They begged him to stay with them. That house is turned into a church now. It is in the Gaza Strip.
That within itself is an amazing story. And this is this man, number one, speaking out, against Islam and speaking his religious beliefs. And if you're a Christian, obviously you don't believe in the prophet Muhammad. You know, if you're a Christian, you know, we believe that Muhammad was a false prophet. Let's be honest and let's be real about that. And there's no other getting around it. And there's not an actual Christian on this planet that is going to end up denouncing their faith and that is going to go against it. This is something that I've thought about. And I know likely some of you probably have as well, that if I was faced in that situation, I had to think about this when I was overseas, if I became, you know, an enemy prisoner of war, knowing that my head, you know, or knowing that I would be put on camera, knowing that they would want me to denounce my faith, knowing that I would likely be tortured, knowing that my head would probably get severed from my body, would I sit there and would I denounce Jesus? And my answer to that would be no, that's not something that I'm going to do. You're going to have to cut my dang head off, whether you like it or not. But that is the price that I will pay. This man ended up speaking out against radical Islam. And what do we think? What do we think? Not even radical Islam, man. Just stating his own religious beliefs. This was his reward. You guys see that? This was his reward. This is the tolerance for his religion. Why? Why did that take place? Well, that took place because it's literally commanded for Muslims to go after and attack the non-believers if they don't want to. And if you're speaking out against Muhammad, same thing. If you leave the faith, could result in the same punishment. This is the problem. This is the fear that they have kept over the United States, right? And people here in America. This is why every time I speak out against it and I'm doing any sort of live session or live debate or I'm talking about it and I say, yeah, in my religious belief, Muhammad's a false prophet. And we were warned of false prophets. All of a sudden, I have people coming out of the woodwork threatening to cut my head off and kill me. I've been threatened so many times, I've lost track. Probably sitting over in my DM since this live broadcast is taking place over on X, I likely have more threats that are just waiting for me. Just waiting. That's not tolerance. Now, with that being said, I want you guys to think about that as well, because again, we are the big Satan. What do we think the result of all of this is going to be at the end of the day? Show you guys a picture. I want to show you guys a video. This is coming out of the UK. You guys get the idea, right? You guys see where I'm going here? Tom Bone says, sometimes to defeat the monsters of the world, we must become monsters ourselves. The difference between us and them is that we are violent and ruthless to our enemies, kind and caring to the innocent and those we care about. 100%, Tom, you were not wrong with that. Leon Buyson coming in. He says, high-powered tactical strobe lights are generally legal to carry. Are they... be a more practical self-defense option paired with a personal alarm, disorient, and draw assertion. They don't require close range or risk blowback like mace. You know, the issue is that all of these different types of attacks, they take place so suddenly. And what you're describing might be useful in an active shooter type situation, draw attention, things of that nature, where you're in a different area and you have time to set up. But just in general, these attacks take place so fast and so violent that even if you're prepared, even if you're carrying, even if you're one of those individuals that is switched on, that you're not going to be able to defend yourself, right? That's how it works. So like surprise attacks, they pop up and they do it. And so your best defense, believe it or not, isn't even those strobes, isn't anything. It's exercising good judgment. All right. And that's being aware of the you know, situations that you allow yourself to be in, being aware of the crowds, paying attention to people, reading their body language, and being aware of your surroundings. When you park, do, you know, your little circle around the freaking parking lot, go back to a more open space, things of that nature, avoid large crowds. All of those are very common sense. When you are in large crowds, have good situational awareness, travel with groups of like-minded people who are also going to be switched on. If you have children, don't allow them to wander away from you in the next 30 days. Keep good comms with them. Remember where they're at. Dylan Dunker says, remember, keep your heads on a swivel and stay strapped going into the weekend and the near future. Stay frozen, Banana Fam. Also want you to remember that the anniversary of September 11th is coming up. And if Israel ends up kicking this thing off, I got a feeling it's going to be after September 11th. That way that they don't use that as another, piece of information, basically, that they can use to drive their freaking radical agenda and commit more attacks. Here's another one. I don't know if you guys remember this attack from earlier this year. This was over in Germany. It's a police officer being stabbed as he goes over there to help somebody else that had been the victim of a freaking stabbing. Ladies and gentlemen, these attacks have been taking place more frequently, and they have been going ignored. I can sit here for the next hour and continue to give example after example after example of all of these different terror attacks that have taken place. And I don't know how like necessary it is for me to go over. Sorry about that. This is a clip from Laura Loomer. This is also something that I ended up sharing a little bit earlier this week. This lady, I'm tempted to play like the opening of it. You know what? Maybe I'll just do that. Maybe I'll play the opening of it. Here we go.
And she is an organizer for the Palestinian Youth Movement, which, believe it or not, shockingly, is a 501c3 organization. We are literally giving tax write-offs to these domestic terrorists so they can carry out their acts of domestic terrorism on U.S. soil. Take a listen to what she says here at this conference, encouraging these Palestinian Muslim activists, I just want to call them all terrorists, encouraging them to sabotage the supply chain for the F-35 fighter jets. Go ahead and play the clip.
Is that 70% of the cost of the F-35 program actually comes from the supply chain. 70% of this $2 trillion that goes into the supply chain is literally because they need to transport the different components of the F-35 to different locations to assemble them. And what's really important for us to know is that the F-35 supply chain functions off of this just-in-time logistics process. It's called this, it's an inventory management system, and it's called just-in-time, which means that it delivers the goods right before they're needed. And it's also noted that for an F-35, for every 1 hour of flight, it actually needs 3 hours of maintenance. So what I'm saying to y'all is that if one specific node of the F-35 supply chain is intervened in, it has a huge impact on our people back home. And so we've really developed a methodology, and then I hope that we can get into this and we can talk about it a bit more through this panel. But what's important for us to know here is that the more that we know, the more that we can do. Knowledge is really power here. And we need to be surgical, we need to be strategic, and we need to be bold in our actions. Because there are many different points of these supply chains of death that we can intervene in, and we must intervene.
Supply chains of death that we can and we must intervene in, right? So this is another aspect of it that goes in, all right? This is the People's Conference for Palestine, as you guys can see up there in the top corner of your screen. And there was a lot of talk like this going on over there. And this, in my opinion, is domestic terrorism. This is how it starts. And we walk a very fine line with freedom of speech, and she's doing it as well. She is giving open source information. She's giving open source knowledge. And, you know, she could write that off and say, no, you know, what I was referencing was... to, you know, have people boycott this system, or if they work for these particular supply lines, maybe don't show up for work, you know, like acts of freaking nonviolent resistance, so to speak. Right. And that's how they paint all of these things, is as resistance. And they say that they're going to do it in nonviolent ways. And so was she within the First Amendment? As far as I'm concerned, probably. Right. But we all know also what she could have been inferring to as well. And time and time and time again, unless it's via religion and they're talking about specifically what their religion preaches, you know, that I'm not saying she's Muslim, but unless it's like covered underneath religion, because that is a big don't touch here in the United States of America, we don't see people actually, you know, going after them. But she's got the ability to come out and do things like this. And she does have the right to say things like this, whether we like it or not. And the problem is, of what it's inferring, what she's inferring to. And when people gather in large conferences like this, and it is funded, and they do have a lot of people and a lot of money behind it, they feel like they're part of a very larger community. And in the last month, We've seen lots of things like this coming out here in the United States of America. And within the last 2 weeks, we've seen a lot of propaganda, false propaganda, right, coming out of Gaza and out of other places. The IAGS, frickin' the International Association for Genocide Scholars, is a prime example, made its way all over mainstream media talking about leading world scholars had came out. Then we end up finding out that they're just $30 memberships that anybody can sign up for. And out of the 500 scholars, only 100 of them actually voted. And included in those scholars was people such as like, I wish I could make this crap up. I really wish I could. I ended up showing this last night. This is like a very real thing that I ended up showing last night. It's so freaking frustrating. Just so you guys know, I edited this video, but this is an example of Piers Morgan talking about it. Obviously, I edited the video.
This report has come from the leading association of genocide scholars in the world, declaring that Israel's committing genocide in Gaza. What is your...
Good job, Pierce. Good job. Those two members of the International Association of Genocide Scholars that are actually up on the screen are very real. All right, they're there. But the problem is that mainstream media picks up on this stuff and they report it as if it's actually a fact. And it doesn't seem like they're doing any fact-checking or digging into these organizations. These were people that went in and actually signed up for $30 and became freaking members, and they just added this up. Here you've got Sheev Palpatine, Sith Without Borders Country, Syrian Arab Republic. It's absolutely nuts. And there you've got Mo Cookie, $30, holla holla, you can be a genocide scholar. That's right. It's freaking disgusting. And we have people that come out and they put those out as if it's something very real. So what do we see happening overseas right now? Well, we definitely see things like this. All right, this video that I'm going to put up in silence, all right? What it's showing, allegedly, coming out of these areas. And again, civilians aren't living in these completely destructed areas. And I talk about this, right? What you're seeing is people, and there's one right there. He's kind of like hiding off in the distance. This guy, like down here in the dirt. And what you have is situations like this. And this is the Al Zoltan neighborhood outside of Gaza City. And they're prepping, getting ready for the IDF to go in there. And so you have these different terror cells that are just kind of like laying in wait and waiting for the IDF to roll in. And this is going to be like that initial buffer zone before they end up sucking them back down in there. Seoul says more should be done to expose Islam. Yeah, I totally agree. More absolutely should be done to expose it. And the problem is people are scared. You know, I have zero cares left in the world when it comes to exposing them. Here you've got more people just standing on the outskirts going over into this area. It might be kind of hard to see, but I'll put it up. You've got people standing there in their dark colored clothing. There's a guy right here. You guys see me circling with my cursor? All right. And a couple more in the background, you know, setting up these different defensive fighting positions, waiting for the IDF to come in and actually conduct the attack. Now, it could also just be a bunch of military age males that decided to go roam through this destroyed area looking for things to pillage to take back to their families. Hell, I've done that in war zones, looked for things that I actually need in destroyed freaking buildings that are abandoned and all that other crap in order to help like build a camp. You know, I mean, I'm talking simple things like light bulbs, electrical wires, freaking, you know, cans, things of that nature. I've done that. In addition, we also have Hamas that's feeling extremely emboldened. This next video that I'm going to put up on the screen is hostage Guy Galoba Dalal. He was taken from the Nova Music Festival. He's still alive. And his family actually cleared this video for release today. And I'm going to play it, and then I'm going to point something out inside this video for you.
Ani Guy Galoba Dalal. האסיר שנמצא בשבי גדודי אלגסם בעיר עזה. היום יום חמישי, ה-28 לאוגוסט 2025. זה כל מה שאנחנו רוצים. אנחנו רק רוצים שזה יסתיים. אנחנו רוצים לחזור למשפחות שלנו. בבקשה, תחזירו אותנו.
Did you guys notice something about this video? It's something that you don't see in any other videos, or at least I haven't seen so far. And it's not the words, it's not the torture, it's not anything. It's literally what's taking place in the background here. First, we have him sitting inside of a vehicle, and then you see the destroyed buildings behind. Now, I would be surprised if Israeli intelligence wasn't able to take and geolocate based off that building where it's at, you know, just fly enough drones around and figure out what that angle is and where that building's at. But the other thing that I want to point out is all of these people standing on the streets. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, possibly 6 In the background right there. And you see this whole line of people that are walking down this main route. He's sitting inside of a civilian vehicle and he's actually outside. Now it's believed that these hostages as well are inside Gaza City. They're not, I'm gonna say this again, before they were in tunnels. Here they're not in tunnels. Here this man is being held above ground. And when you look at the room that he's in, when you look at all of those things, it doesn't seem like he's in a tunnel. Clearly from this one, he's not. And he's being driven around in a car. And look at all of those civilians in the background inside of this video. This is in a Hamas-controlled area, very likely Gaza City. And the problem is when the IDF goes in, they've also got to be careful. They don't want to kill civilians, but they dang sure don't want to kill hostages. Zayem coming in, gifting out 5 Speak the Truth memberships. Israel's got to take this very, very slow when they go inside there. And there is a very high probability that Hamas is keeping these people, these hostages, around sites like I showed you at the beginning of the video, like that massive building that ends up getting taken down. Now, if they do that, that's also going to be another set of propaganda for them. Not to fuel the jihad, but to fuel pissed off Israelis, to take all of those, like, you know, people over inside Israel that are protesting and want to bring this thing to an end. Even if that happens, even if it's like what I just played out does happen, it's highly unlikely that Israel is going to stop, because at that point they're, you know, essentially pot committed. They have to go in and they have to keep on in order to knock these freaking dudes down. And I think that's exactly what they're going to end up doing. And again, you know, I could play this video by, you know, this other dude here in just a little bit, but Hezbollah being kicked out of Lebanon, Hamas being wiped out. This is something that's very interesting that I came across. Some of you guys might have seen a video that came out not that long ago of Hamas like actually torturing people on the streets. What they're actually doing is enforcing Sharia law for people like making loans that are bad for everybody else. And in reality, what they want is they want, you know, the people that are, you know, paying out these loans to people in Gaza so they can afford to feed their families or whatever to not do that. They want that money and they want that control and they want that power coming out from them. And so they're flogging them, beating them, all of that crap. I think in some cases you can see them being shot in the legs. But what the little clip that was being spread around did not show is the amount of Palestinian people that still support them. You guys to take a look at that up on your screen before I allow this video to play any further. Clearly, this is some sort of a court that is set up. And when you look to the left and right on this little corridor here, it definitely looks like they have that different tent material, tarp material that they have set up all around the site. And you have people gather around cheering on Hamas for doing this stuff. Evan Reed says, Palpatine gets me every time. It's so funny how in character it would be for him. I love the internet. Yeah, internet's great, man. I absolutely love the freaking internet. So yeah, that's what you're seeing up here, up on your screen. You're seeing a bunch of Palestinians that are cheering this freaking crap on. And you can actually see, you know, like different freaking trucks. Look at this truck in the background with, I mean, it's just, it's insane. And again, we see a little market area right outside of here. You guys see that as we back, like if I was to back that up, you guys can see this little business set up right outside. So Hamas, again, implanting themselves in the middle of these civilians in order to protect themselves. You guys see the amount of people that are over there that are like still supporting them? You know, I know I've reported in the past that they don't exist, but I want you to think about this as well. All of those people that are over there supporting this, right, that are supporting Hamas, that are supporting these like Sharia courts that they're holding over there, all of these people that are doing that are also going to be radicals, and they're also going to be willing to die as martyrs. And that takes me all the way back to the beginning of this video where I said, listen, these people very, very well, These people very, very well are going to commit themselves as martyrs. Some of them are going to be willing to get caught in the crossfire. Some of them are going to be willing to allow Hamas to shoot them just so it can be captured on camera, so it can look like the IDF is doing it, so that they've got different videos, different camera angles that they can edit to make it appear as if the IDF is the ones that are actually doing this crap. It's going to get bad. And I'm warning you, it's going to get bad. And I'm warning you, if you're in a Western nation, that this stuff is going to be found at your doorstep in the very near future. So ladies and gentlemen, please heed my freaking words. All right, go get a freaking med kit. I'm not sponsored by these people. I happen to actually carry it. Somebody asked me, because I made a post about this over on Twitter this morning. They said, well, what would you do about it? What kind of medical kits and stuff would you recommend? I just like these guys because I've worked with them in the past. When I was doing tactical training, they actually volunteered to donate a bunch of equipment, ended up cutting their cost down and taking care of Leo's. And there's an incredible group of people. So I'm going to put this up on the screen. If there's something that you want to get. Now, again, I'm not sponsored by them. I didn't ask for their permission to do this. This is just something I'm going to put out. The company's name is Refuge Medical. And if you guys are looking for different first aid kits, they have all of that stuff. And their kits are very, very well put together. So just want to throw that out there for you guys. All right. You can go in there, you can grab their stuff. It's again, it's very well put together. MT says, I'm scrawny, a woman, not at all athletic, but I'm seriously considered joining the National Guard. Enough of this. Yeah. MT, National Guard needs good people. And I kind of like the concept of a National Guard being built off the militias. The only thing that I don't like is that they are federalized, or the president has the ability to federalize the National Guard, but there's a reason for that. And it goes down to funding, all sorts of other stuff. But the National Guard, depending on which state you're in, spends the vast majority of its time helping the people of that state and protecting that state. And I think it's a very good idea. And I think that America needs to get back to its patriotic roots instead of all of this self-hate and self-doubt that we have. And that people do need to support, like the National Guard. People do need to support organizations such as the military. The Coast Guard is another good one, right? Coast Guard does so much for the United States, and they get crapped on all the time by, the vet community and other people on active duty, and rightfully so, because we talk crap to each other. We don't do it because the Coast Guard doesn't do a good job or the National Guard doesn't do a good job. National Guard's always there cleaning up after disasters and taking care of their own people, but they're also planning for a lot of stuff. If that's something you're considering, I encourage it. I don't think it's bad at all. I think the military offers like very, very good opportunities for people that not a lot of people take advantage of. Yes, I would encourage you to do that. If that's something you're thinking about doing, go take a look at it. Spend some time doing some research, talking to other people that have been through it, figuring out what it is exactly that you want to do. Figure out what type of impact, like talk to those people and figure it out and go read on that stuff. It's good. There's nothing bad that's going to end up coming out of that. Ladies and gentlemen, I ended up going way over time that I had actually thought that I was going to be on here this morning. So I'm going to go ahead and jump off. I'm going to be back tonight. Normally I don't do a Friday evening broadcast, but I switched the times for the live sessions to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Somebody asked me to move it to 7. I'm sticking with 6. All right. So it's going to be 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, where I'm going to do another live broadcast tonight, give you guys an update for a lot of the different things that are going on. And of course, make sure your notifications are turned on. Make sure you're subscribed to the channel. You guys don't want to miss it when all of these like different little events end up coming out. A lot of people are being unsubscribed from the channel. So make sure that you are, in fact, subscribed, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate every single person that ended up donating here today. I appreciate every single true supporter that we have. And I love you guys to death. You guys are the ones, if you didn't notice, I turned the monetization off for these videos. And I'm going to stick with that. But do me a solid with the monetization and the commercials being off. Make sure that you're sharing the channel. Make sure that you are subscribed. Make sure that you are bringing all of this stuff up and you're telling your friends about Speak the Truth, ladies and gentlemen, because it's very, very important. In the meantime, peace, love, happiness, and God bless. I am out of here.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
CODA salutes those who've served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.